Scripture for this afternoon is in Isaiah chapter 42, the first 18 verses. Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to molten images, ye are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. So far, we read God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Dear congregation, we have this morning the opportunity to make preparation for the coming Lord's Day. And the preparation is for the supper which our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us to remember him and his work which he has accomplished. And as a preacher, it's difficult sometimes to know just precisely what kind of text to bring. There are very, very different ways in which to approach this preparation to the supper of the Lord. Times and sermons can be set forth. The experience of those who are led in the initial stages, so the little lambs can find their way also in the coming week as they cry out to God for light and for direction. There's also those times in which it is to be set forth, the beauties and the glories of Christ and who He is for His people in an ongoing way. Their hearts being drawn to Him will also have food to meditate upon and to eat and to prepare for this coming Lord's Day. And various other ways in which the preparation could take place. Well, this morning I want to try to do both. This afternoon I want to consider a history which is well known to us, I trust, of a blind man, Bartimaeus. And I hope that each one who hears would also at least begin to understand what God is calling them to do also, even the little ones in grace as well as all of us. And then this evening we'll hope to consider those who have known something and tasted something of Christ, and how that knowledge is desired and longed for to be grown and to deepen as well. And I'm going to then this morning really in a sense put aside, I suppose, all formalities and a normal sermon and an introduction and two or three points and some kind of concluding applications. Because the history we're going to consider in some sense about blind Bartimaeus is a whole package, and we need to follow through this history to see what is the point of the Holy Spirit. And following through with this history, we will see there is also spiritual application given to us. And so there are those indeed who preached well from this text having points. But as I pondered this history, I considered it might be better just to simply lay out the history as a whole and apply along the way. So I want to look at Mark 10 this afternoon, and I begin reading at verse 46. To 52. Mark 10, verse 46. And they came, that's Jesus and his disciples, to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And so our theme, our title over the message will be a blind man healed or a sinner saved. We know if we read in the context of this passage, dear congregation, that Jesus has been teaching his disciples. If you begin at Mark and continue on through this gospel, you will see that Jesus for a time had now been in the desert places alone with his disciples to teach them. And he had now been teaching them, particularly in the last couple of chapters, about what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. What it means to follow him in the way. Jesus had been setting before them a little child, and he says, unless we become like a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He had a rich young ruler that came to him and said, I have done everything possible to earn eternal life. What yet do I need to do? And Jesus spoke to his disciples and this ruler about the danger of riches. And he spoke too about his coming sacrifice, that he was now going and heading toward Jerusalem. So from this point on in the gospel, according to Mark, Jesus is going to be finding his way and going to the place of suffering. And he's going to be speaking about these things in particular. And in this passage that's now before us this afternoon, Jesus is going to ask this man a question. This man who is calling out, "Jesus, have mercy." The question is, of Jesus to the man, "What would you have me to do? What do you want me to do for you?" That's the question. This question, if you look back in this chapter, was also asked by Jesus not so long ago. Verse 36. He was asked by James and John if they could ask him whatsoever they wanted, and Jesus, "What would ye that I should do for you?" But if you read that when you get home this afternoon over again, you will see that the response of James and John, the disciples, is quite different than the response of Bartimaeus. These who had been followers of Jesus for some time already needed also lessons. Because you remember perhaps that what Jesus says to John and to James is that the place they were craving at his right and left hand was not his to give. They were seeking this outward kingdom. They still had their minds focused on outward things, though they were followers of Jesus. But what we find here with Bartimaeus is that he simply is looking for mercy. He's looking for sight. He's looking for salvation. And it's the faith of this blind Bartimaeus that's going to be coming to the foreground in this afternoon. Well, children, who was this man? Well, we are told his name was Bartimaeus, and it simply means he is the son of Timaeus. And it's very unusual for us to hear the name of any man whom Jesus has healed. And the likely reason is because even as Mark is writing this gospel, Peter, one of the disciples, is telling him what to write. It seems that this name came back because it must have been a name known in the church of the New Testament. But here was a man who was blind, and he's sitting by the roadside day after day. He's begging for his daily bread, something to eat. And as most beggars would have done, he probably spread his coat out in front of it. And he sat down on a corner of the coat, and he was asking people as he would hear them pass by to show him mercy and to give him something that he could buy some food. Now, Bartimaeus knew as well as everyone in Israel that this was a special time. This was a very special time for Israel because the Passover was coming. Hundreds of people were filing down the roads through Jericho and different other regions into Jerusalem to commemorate this very significant occasion in Israel. And Bartimaeus knew, as well as all the other beggars in Israel, this was a good time to sit along the roadside and to collect alms. Perhaps what he would collect in these days with the hundreds of people passing by would put him in good stead for the coming days and maybe even weeks. And we are told by Mark that Jesus also is going up to Jerusalem. He's going up to the time of the Passover because he, the Passover lamb, was about to be offered. We are told in verse 46 that Jesus passed through Jericho. And a large number of people were passing with him. Up until this point, you remember I said, Jesus had kept himself from the public eye. He was instructing his disciples out in the wilderness. And now, once again in his ministry, he's coming into the public view. And he's going to be coming to Jerusalem. He's going to ride on that ass, the colt. You remember? And the people are going to cry out, "Hosanna, Son of David," and all of Jerusalem is going to be in an uproar. He's going to enter the temple. He's going to drive them out with cords. It's going to be a huge scene. And Jesus has been telling the people as he's traveled from the wilderness into towards the city, that's where he's going. It's been a while since he's been there. And the people know, they sense it in the air, something is going to happen. They believe to some extent that Jesus is the deliverer, the one who was sent of God. And you can just about imagine the people are now surrounding Jesus and the disciples. The disciples themselves believed Jesus was going to bring about this glorious earthly kingdom, defeating the Romans. And so all these people now, you remember, are gathering on the roadsides, following Jesus. That's the picture. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to perhaps drive out the Romans. James and John had just asked, can we sit on your right and left hand? And so all these people are going. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, was also hearing the same message. This man, Jesus, is coming down the road. But he does not have some grand idea about ruling in some earthly kingdom in his mind. He has something else. He has a need not only for sight, but for mercy. He's heard of this one Jesus who does miracles, who forgives sin. And he begins crying out, we are told, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, have mercy. That's what he's crying at the top of his voice. He's probably screaming the way it sounds in the Greek. He's shouting, at least, very loudly. But the other people who are traveling with Jesus hear him crying out. They don't want Jesus to stop. This is a distraction to what we want him to do when he comes to Jerusalem. So what do they tell Bartimaeus to do? Close your mouth. Be quiet. Don't disturb this procession. The deliverer is going up to Jerusalem. It's going to get exciting. He's going to deliver us from the Roman bondage. Don't you, with your begging, stop Jesus along the way. He sends the spirit of the crowd following Jesus. And they tell Bartimaeus, close your mouth, be quiet. What do we read, children? Rather than being quiet, Bartimaeus cries the louder, more earnestly. Let's pause a moment. This is the history up until this point, and it's good for us to consider what's happening here also that could relate to us. Bartimaeus was a blind man. Have you ever thought about what it would mean if you were blind? There are a couple of blind people in our community. I think you know some of them. But maybe you too, for a few moments in your life, have had that sensation when you're playing at your birthday party, pinning the tail on a donkey, and you have a blindfold over your eyes. You can't see anything. Could you imagine having been born that way? Not being able to see the sun rise or set. Not seeing the beautiful trees, never knowing what the face of your father or your mother looks like. How perhaps you would be teased as you are growing up. You would feel particularly the difficulties of life. You would never have seen all of the beauty of nature, and everything is black. You never knew any different. But really, that's the picture of us by nature. That's the picture of you and me spiritually if we are outside of Christ. What was true of Bartimaeus, outwardly blind, is true of us If we are outside of Christ, we are blind. We are blinded by the God of this world. Blind to what? Blind to the fact we're blind? Blind to the fact that there is one who is able to save and ransom us from our sin? Who paid the price that we might go free? We don't see the beauty of Christ, His service, His word of following Him. We don't understand why people can speak about following Christ and have joy in their heart. You're blind. You know, blind people, children, when they're growing up, they often fall down, learn by painful experience how to find their way around. Blind sinners have the same problem. Their lives often are difficult, falling down here and there. We experience troubles in life. Maybe some of you have been mistreated by others as you're growing up. Maybe too you have some disease. Maybe no one around you seems to care about you. Your life seems like Bartimaeus, all alone by the wayside of life. And if you see no beauty in Christ and in the gospel, then all I can say about you is what Paul said of the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Bartimaeus had a problem with his eyes. We have a problem with our soul, with our hearts. We don't really see nor understand or believe the horrors of sin. We don't think that sin is so bad. You don't believe, if you are blind, that God Himself calls you through His Word to turn to Him. You don't see that you abide under the wrath of God outside of Christ. Even though you perhaps see me up here and you see things outside and around you with perfect 20/20 vision, even though you can run on both of your legs, even though you can grasp things with your minds, even though you have a tongue, yet until this moment, some of you have no spiritual eyes. You have no spiritual legs with which you have run to Christ. You have not had spiritual ears which you have heard His Word. You've only laid hold of things in this world that give you temporary pleasure, and you have not laid hold of Christ. You have not even had one right thought about Christ in your mind, because you have not called on Him to be saved. Now, even though Bartimaeus was blind and he couldn't see, he had something some of you don't yet have. He had spiritual eyes. He had some sense of spiritual understanding. Here was a blind man who had only heard about what Jesus had done and who He was. Perhaps he had heard of some other blind man being healed or some other miracle of Jesus. But when he heard Jesus was passing by, he cries. He was not going to let this opportunity pass by him. And so Bartimaeus asked for mercy. You see, Bartimaeus wasn't crying out that Jesus or more people would add coins to his coat sitting in front of him. He was not going to ask Jesus for enough to get him by till he was 80 or 90 or 100 years old in his condition of blindness. No, Bartimaeus' need was far deeper than this. The Bartimaeus' need was found in his heart. He understood something of the need he had of salvation, of forgiveness. His desire was his eyes would be opened. And when we hear his voice, we hear a voice of a man who recognized his need. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. So I ask you in preparation for the week to come, do you understand this language of Bartimaeus? Have you ever cried to Jesus for mercy? Have you ever come to the Scriptures? Have you ever come to the preaching of the Word with this cry in your hearts? Have mercy. Because you see your need of mercy. Do you recognize you were such a one as Bartimaeus? You had no real sight, knowledge of Christ, the only Savior. And Bartimaeus, you see, does not ask Jesus to remember him because he was so needy, because he was blind, because even he was such a great person. You see, Bartimaeus has nothing upon which he pleads. He cries out to Jesus in his condition that he was in blindness, and he says, Jesus, I have nothing to offer. I don't have anything to give, but Lord, have mercy. And so it is with sinners who have their eyes open to see something of their own blindness and their own sinfulness, their own inability to pay any of their sinful debt they owe to God. And they begin to cry for mercy. Poor and needy, they look to Christ. And Bartimaeus would not be hindered by any of those who walked next to him and told him, Bartimaeus, be quiet. And maybe some of you have had someone tell you that very thing, or at least something like it. You talk to them about something that's going on within, about how that you need Christ or you need salvation. They perhaps have said to you, well, this isn't the way to Christ. You don't need to be so religious. You need this or you need that first. You need all of these things, perhaps, if you're going to be saved. Or maybe if you just pray quietly, religion is this thing you do in your closet, not something you talk about day by day. Many had told Bartimaeus, be quiet. And the language here is that they were almost pressuring him. But Bartimaeus would not be silent. He cries a great deal more. And you know, when a sinner is under conviction by the Spirit of Christ, and people would come to such sinners and tell them, don't be so religious, be quiet. They know in their heart of hearts what evil advice that is. Because they've heard something already from the Word. They know what the Word is saying. It's true. They know this voice is leading them astray. They know they need Jesus or they will perish. And so like Bartimaeus, they cry the more. Bartimaeus did not care that he was told to be quiet. He knew what he believed about having heard of Jesus and he believed it. And so he cries the more, Jesus, Son of David. You see what he's acknowledging in those words? The first word out of his mouth is Jesus. What a wonderful name. Jehovah saves. Jesus is salvation. And this blind man began to understand something, and he needed Jesus and would not let him go unless he blessed him. Then I ask you, you've heard a lot about Jesus, I trust. You've read. But what do you think of him? Do you believe what you've heard about Jesus Christ? That He is the Son of God, the Creator of all, come down from glory and dwelt upon this earth? That He is the Lamb of God, the Son of David, who now died, rose again, and sits on the throne of the universe, directing all things? Bartimaeus understood this was the Messiah, the Savior. But Bartimaeus needed more than all those crowds of people in earthly kingdom. He needed a Savior for his soul. He wanted to see. He cries for mercy. He realized his need for mercy, for forgiveness, and he would no doubt have taken responsibility for all those times, perhaps as a blind man, when he sat by the roadside and thought, poor me, why did I have to be blind? And what do you say in your hearts? Why did this have to happen to me? And Bartimaeus would have perhaps coveted from other people. When he lived for pleasure rather than God, he would have no doubt taken responsibility for all these things. And I ask you, have you ever come to God in such a way that you take responsibility for all the things you have done contrary to God? And the result is you cry for mercy. Are you blind? Maybe you pity Bartimaeus. You think, what a miserable person he must have been. Poor, he had nothing to his name. But are you any better? If you are outside of Christ, you maybe have a wonderful house to live in. You maybe have money in the bank. You maybe have food every day. But if you've not seen Christ and you've not cried for mercy, your life is worse than Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had self-knowledge. He had some knowledge of Christ. He knew he was blind. And he cried out for mercy. Have you? And what do you think the reason often is people do not cry out to Jesus for mercy, or they do so half-heartedly? They go home after a sermon like this and they're convicted in their hearts. I have to change. I'm getting older. And it lasts for Monday afternoon, maybe Wednesday. And it's gone. The problem often is because we have some sight yet. We've maybe cried out a few times in prayer, maybe opened our Bibles or sought in some other books, and then we've given up. Not with Bartimaeus. Anything that came against it, close your mouth. He cried out the more. If we really understand, believe what God's Word is telling us about ourselves, that outside of Christ we are under the wrath of God, do you suppose you could last this week without finding Him? Could you last this day without finding Him? You see, soon, the encouragement the Lord will give to Bartimaeus, and I trust to you also. But dear friend, have you considered that the believer has so much more than you ever will have? If you gain this whole world, the believer, though he has nothing in this world, has a Father in heaven. They have an elder brother. Their sins are washed and cleansed. They have peace and joy. And consider that if you don't see that in a child of God, it's either because their eyes are somewhat still blinded, or that child of God is living below their privilege. Consider Do you have this knowledge which Bartimaeus was seeking after and found? Do you have knowledge that to serve the Lord is far better than the service of this world is going to be and ever will be? Sometimes I just pause in life and I just think, what will it be when I draw my last breath? What will it be for you? All that you own and all that you have and all that seems to take place, it's finished. But if you have Jesus, you meet Him at that moment. You have everything. You have all you need for all eternity. So I say, press on. Be of good comfort. Jesus calls you. Bartimaeus could not wait to speak to the one who he heard calling him. He couldn't keep quiet. He cries out the more, even when they try to silence him. Bartimaeus is blind, you would say, but he needs to get Jesus' attention. The only way he has. Well, I ask you, what's the way God has given you to get Jesus' attention? Cry to Him. Pray to Him. If you really believe you are blind and lame and deaf, well, then what did all the people we hear in Scripture, when they have seen or heard Jesus, they cry to Him. And Jesus, or Bartimaeus, didn't simply repeat some words that he had heard someone else say. No, this comes from Bartimaeus' heart. He needs Jesus. He needs mercy. If you or one of your children were seriously ill and perhaps dying from cancer, you heard of a doctor who had healed another person just like the disease you have, what would you do to try to get yourself or your child to that doctor? I think you'd do everything. Well, consider, parents, that each of the children in your homes have a spiritual disease. They're going to die. Whether it's this week, or months, or years, death is going to find us. But are you ignoring the one who calls you, who can give you life? Are you going to ignore the one to whom Bartimaeus calls, the one who has helped and healed and saved so many? You have heard that Jesus is willing to save, willing to forgive. You hear that He calls you, and yet you don't come to Him. You don't cry to Him. You don't read His Word. Now, is that anything anyone with a sound mind would do? If we really loved our souls and the souls of our children and family, is that what we would do? Pay attention to Bartimaeus. He gives us instruction. He cries out the more. When the crowd tries to silence him, he cries out the more. And he's not thinking, I say again, about how many more coins he can get. He's not thinking here's a lifetime opportunity. But he's interested in Jesus' salvation that He alone can give. And Bartimaeus is not thinking about what others will think of him. He doesn't call for anyone except on Jesus. Are you calling out to this one who calls to you? Little did Bartimaeus realize this was the last time Bartimaeus passes by. How do we know this is not the last time the call of the gospel would come to us? And so what happened? Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Just meditate on those two words a moment. Jesus, the Master, the Creator of this world and universe, stands still. Why? He heard a cry. He's going to Jerusalem to accomplish the purpose, the work he had set about to do from all eternity. And he stands still. Blessed words these are. When the world told Bartimaeus, "Close your mouth, the Lord of all glory stands still." No one else had time for a poor blind man, but our Savior did. The Lord of glory does. Maybe you think, as you look at yourselves, maybe you go through life wondering, does anyone notice? Does anyone see what I struggle with? Does anyone see my pains of heart? Well, consider this history. Jesus does. He hears the cries of this poor man. He stops. He stands still. And on this passage, I can assure you, whoever you might be, if you are crying to Jesus, he stands still. Certainly, Bartimaeus had been crying for some time before Jesus stood still. That doesn't mean Jesus hadn't heard. But he wanted to test also, I am sure. Will Bartimaeus keep crying? Will he keep crying out to me? And so when our Lord looks upon you, he sees your conviction. He sees you struggling with spiritual matters. The question is, will you carry on and cry the more? Or will you return back as a dog to his vomit and a pig to his mud? Then we read, Jesus commands him to be called. And Jesus must have spoke with authority. It must have been something like, bring that man to me. That man who is calling my name. Let him come. Don't hinder him from coming. And what do we find? The very ones who were saying to Bartimaeus, be quiet. Now say, be of good cheer. The Master calls. And I say to you, dear friend, if you have been following along in this word and in your hearts, you find yourself crying to Jesus for mercy upon the same authority of this crowd of people, given the authority of Jesus, call that man, call that person. I say to you, if you're crying to Jesus for mercy, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. He calls you. And what does Jesus' words do to Bartimaeus? Well, we read, Bartimaeus does just that. He casts away his garment. He rose and he came to Jesus. All those few coins the people had perhaps thrown on his garment, it means nothing. He leaves it all behind because the one whom he desired and he knew could help calls. What would you think if instead of reading, when the people said now, hearing Jesus, rise, be of good comfort, he calls you. That this man who was sitting by the roadside, sitting on his coat, would have said even louder, but how can I come? I can't see, I can't even know where to find you. It's impossible in this crowd of people. And there are such sinners today in the church. When they hear the voice of Jesus calling them to rise, to be of good cheer, to come, for he calls you. their minds and in their hearts, the objections arise. No man can come to him except the Father draw him. And I would say, put aside such reasoning and throw aside all that hinders you from coming to Jesus and run with haste to him as we see Bartimaeus doing. And I ask you, do you suppose for one instant that if you cry to him in mercy, you hear today he calls you, that if you flee to him, he will turn you away? Do you suppose you would be received differently than Bartimaeus? Well, let this example of Bartimaeus encourage you. He puts all aside. Whatever would hinder him from coming to Jesus, he has heard his word. Be of good comfort. He calls you. And how was Bartimaeus received? Well, Jesus simply says when Bartimaeus stands in front of him, "What will you that I would do to you?" Doesn't he know? Children, doesn't Jesus know what Bartimaeus needs? Of course he does. Don't you think Jesus knows with what you struggle? What thoughts you have about this message? Thoughts you have about what it means to believe and come to repentance of our sin? Don't you think Jesus knows what struggles you have about life and about temptation? The battle against sin you cannot win? That heart of stone you feel so cold? Doesn't Jesus know? Well, Jesus is God. He certainly knows. And yet he comes to you now and he says, "What would you have me to do for you?" What would you like from me is what Jesus is saying. He wants you to tell him all your needs. To lay it all out before him in prayer. It may sound simple. It may sound like it ought to be something we are already doing. But in talking to many people, I find it isn't. They tell me, they tell elders, "This is what I'm struggling with." "Well, have you ever told the Lord?" "Well, how can I do that?" Have you ever come to him in this way as Bartimaeus and tell him just what you want and need and desire from him? And this is an encouragement for the believer as well to come to Jesus again and again. To lay out all your needs before him in prayer. What does Bartimaeus reply? He calls Jesus Lord. He understands the one who is in front of him, who called him, is the Lord of heaven. He hears his voice. And he desires to see. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." It's as if we could say Bartimaeus is saying to Jesus, I believe thou art the Messiah. I believe thou art able to heal me. And I'm not asking for silver or gold, but I've heard thy call and believe that thou art able and willing to give me sight, Lord, that I might see." And what do we read? Jesus speaks, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And Mark, in his characteristic way, says immediately he receives his sight. As soon as he makes his request, as soon as Jesus answers it, immediately Bartimaeus sees. And what a wonderful miracle. All the way around. It's just that he didn't see. You could imagine. You ever been blind at night and the lights are turned on and you're squinting? Can't hardly see? Could you imagine if the miracle was not complete that Jesus did? You would be blinded by the light he saw for the first time. But the miracle was, as his eye is opened, he sees Jesus. And he follows him in the way. He was made whole Mark says. Not that he only could see, but the meaning is definitely spiritual. He was completely healed. He was cleansed from his sin. He had a new heart and a right spirit, and he followed Jesus in the way. That's the fruit of this man's salvation. Bartimaeus was saved by faith. Now there are, I suppose, some here today who are just like blind Bartimaeus. And if I were to ask you, what do you want Jesus to do for you? I trust that for those who understand something as Bartimaeus did, of the need you have for mercy, for forgiveness of your sin, your immediate reply would be that Jesus would save my soul. Your cry to him has been and is that I might see if I might have salvation. And perhaps you have cried again and again and you haven't yet received an answer. I may say to you in behalf of my master, be of good cheer. Rise. The master calls you. Cast away all that hinders you and come to Jesus just as you are, believing he is able and willing, ready to receive sinners just like yourself. And in coming to him, you may have the evidence that he has called you. Thy faith has saved thee. Go your way. And what do we read of Bartimaeus? Does he go his own way? Does he go back to his family and all of his friends? No, we read he follows Jesus in the way. Where was Jesus going? Jerusalem. What was going to happen there? Suffering, death. That's what it means to follow Jesus. If we will follow Jesus in the way, it means we will die to ourselves. We will need to have sin crucified in us. Has Jesus met you in the way? If he has, and he's spoken to you through his word, and he's healed you, and you're whole, your sins are forgiven, and you have found your life also the way of, in some way, of Bartimaeus, I ask you, are you following Jesus in the way? If not, you must ask yourself the question, whether or not you have been granted sight. Because all those like Bartimaeus who have come to see that Christ is the only salvation, Savior, their heart's delight is to follow him. You love him and desire him all the days of your life. Are you perhaps still clinging to some old garment, to some old sin that remains in your life, that is turning you away from following wholeheartedly after Jesus? Well, then this message also speaks to you. You can come again as Bartimaeus to the Master. He calls you. Follow him in the way. Perhaps you are discouraged. You don't understand some of these things. You've been praying. It seems perhaps your prayers are not answered. You have no relief. And all I can say to you is pray on. Cry on as Bartimaeus did. Be of good cheer. Bartimaeus continued to cry. How many of you have been to a grocery store and there's set a little table there, someone's advertising a particular thing and they have a sample set out. You walk by and you know it's free. You don't resist from taking and tasting. So with salvation. Perhaps that's a bit of a crass example, but the principle is no different. The scriptures say, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, without money and without price. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, whosoever looks unto Christ shall be saved. You may think it is not so. You may think that Jesus doesn't pass by you today. But he does so in his word. Every time it is proclaimed. And maybe you even think in your heart it would be right if Jesus would pass by you because you've heard it so many times and you've been convicted so many times and you've let it go beside you again and again. But I say, don't despair. Press on, cry on, and louder as Bartimaeus did. And when you hear his voice, be of good cheer. Rise, he calls you. Go to him and tell him all that's in your heart. Come to him by faith, and whoever comes is saved. There are many things perhaps that would discourage you. Many things perhaps that you still cling to. But follow the example of Bartimaeus. And if you can relate to Bartimaeus this afternoon, when you get home, go by yourselves alone. Get upon your knees and picture this very scene, as it were, in your mind's eye. If you are crying out to him in sincerity, you may know and hear the voice of our Lord. Rise, be of good comfort. He calls thee, and tell him all. And test him to see if he will not answer, as he did to Bartimaeus. Do you need forgiveness? Tell him so. Do you need sight because you are blind? Tell him so. Are you convicted of particular sins that remain in your heart? Tell him so. If you cannot do it yourself, and you have been taught this truth, tell him how much you need him to do it for you. And don't be hindered. Christ, I trust, will give you such a sight of himself and of his salvation that you have never had before. He is able and willing to give to blind Bartimaeus all that they need beyond their expectations.